You have your Bibles, open them up to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read the first few verses here. Mark chapter 4, verse 21, continuing looking at parables today. I want to read just the first one, and then we'll pray and look at this in more detail. But he says, "Also, Jesus said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there's nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears, let him hear." And then he said, "Take heed what you hear, for with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Lord, I thank you, God, in your faithfulness, God, to give us more as we seek you more. You've promised in your word, those of us who have, if we have a hunger for you, a desire for you, if we seek you in the word, God, that you're going to give us even more when we do that. And we praise you for that. And God, I pray as we look at these parables today that you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, speak clearly to us. Those of us that know you, God, we thank you for the spiritual insight that you give. But Lord, for those of you who don't know you today, and maybe those watching online or listening by radio who don't know you, Lord, you've given parables that they might understand what you're trying to say with an earthly picture. And I pray that even as you use these earthly pictures, Lord, sitting in that boat on the Sea of Galilee, facing the shore with the crowds that were there 2,000 years ago, I pray, God, you would use that same spirit here to speak to the unbeliever as well as those of us who know you. So, God, pour out your spirit, open our eyes, and have your way, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we get into looking at principles through parables, remember last week we set the stage. Jesus had gone out in a small boat. He's out of the water. He's facing just thousands of people. Again, we know that tens of thousands were following him. How many were on the shore at this time? We don't know, but a lot. No doubt thousands and thousands. And the Lord begins to share parables. And as he shared the parable, he not only shares these parables, but he shares what the meaning in the parables, the examples that he uses, the pictures. And we talked about how God uses, again, theologians call it expositional constancy. It simply means that God is constant throughout the Bible in the terminology that he uses. And that's going to come into play today. We're going to see the Lord using certain words and certain things that are going to give us insight into these other parables that really without that would make no sense at all. Well, again, it might make some sense. We would form an opinion that I think is a wrong opinion, not necessarily leading us astray, but at the same time, not giving us the full understanding that we should have and that we need to have when it comes to God's word. So it's going to be very helpful in understanding these. And as we look at the parables, again, keep in mind, we're going to be looking at principles of the kingdom and principles of the church. And why, again, did the Lord use parables? He used these stories to cast alongside a truth because their eyes were hard of seeing and their ears dull of hearing in the sense of spiritual things. Nothing physical wrong, but in spiritual things, Isaiah talked about it and prophesied that in the Lord's day, and we see this in every generation, different generations, we see that, again, there are those that although they have eyes, they can't see spiritually. Although they have ears, they can't hear spiritually. So the Lord will meet us where we are. And for those of us that know the Lord, we're going to be hearing a lot more from God today. From those of you that don't know the Lord, it might be the first time you're hearing certain things as God speaks to you through the parables. So if you really want to hear from God, pray to the Lord. Say, "God, open up my ears to hear. I want to hear what you're saying to me. I want to understand the parable." And God will be faithful to do that to you as we go through this. Now, again, we're going to be looking at three different parables today. One concerning shining God's light, being a witness. Another one, how the seed grows in the heart. And I love that one. I love them all, but that one's going to really, I think, have an impact in you in your life if you apply it. And then how the church will grow and explaining what we can expect in the church and really looking back over the last 2,000 years, what we've seen in the church. And I can attest to it from 34 years of ministry. I can tell you right now, this is exactly how the church operates. And of course, we couldn't expect anything less from the Lord than exactly how what he says is going to be is true. And then also included in these three different parables, we're going to see a general truth about what you hear, making sure that you're guarding what you hear and by what you plant in your ears is going to have a huge impact in the way you live your life for the Lord. So let's jump right in. He comes now again. He gave the last week we saw the parable of the sower, and he talked about the different soils and how we receive it and sown in the heart. We talked about all the different meanings of what that means. Now he moves on, still sitting in the boat, facing the crowd. Picture it in your mind, the Lord out in the water, looking toward everyone standing there on the shore. And it says, verse 21, "Also he said to them, is a lamp bought and put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set upon a lampstand?" And this would immediately resonate with them because, again, in that day, they didn't have lamps like we have today. It wasn't like you go out and buy you a nice lamp and plug it in. No, all they had were oil lamps. And you can go online and see these if you want to see them. They've got them in Israel today, ancient ones, as well as replicas. And you can buy them today. And you pour oil in them, basically olive oil. And then you put the wick in there and light them. And they work like a candle off of wax, except it's working off of the oil. And so he's saying, look, you're not going to go buy one of those and then hide it. You're not going to put it under a basket. You're not going to put it like under a bed. Again, light was a very precious commodity in the houses in those days. And even in everywhere they went, because they didn't have electricity. And so again, whenever you had light, light was a good thing. And so you wanted to make sure that everyone in the room was able to use it. Notice he says, for there's nothing hidden that will not be seen, which will rather not be revealed, nor is anything kept secret that should come to light. If anyone has ears, let him hear. So again, he kind of mixes a couple of things here. First of all, the lamp illustration and the oil illustration. The way this worked, and again, there's a place called the Nazareth Village. If you get to go with us next May to Israel, you'll see the Nazareth Village that they go to. What they did was they found a piece of property that, again, had pretty much everything on it that they used in that day. So it's very authentic. It's in Nazareth, and they really have a wine press there. There's even a tomb that's there, and they put the kind of animals there that would have been there. They rebuilt a house that's there, the kind of house you would have seen. They show you the way they would have made things with the loom and made clothes and all this. And it was interesting. We're walking through the house in one of the rooms, and I noticed this thing sticking out of the side of the wall right here with one of those oil lamps on it. And it struck me, that's what he's talking about. And I asked him, is that where they would put their lamps? Yes. They would have about 6 feet up the wall or so. I'm trying to remember about how high it was. Maybe a little bit higher than that because you probably bump your head on it. But 6 to 7 feet up on the wall. And it was this little thing that came out of the wall. And you take your lamp, fill it with oil, and you set it up there. And the point of this is obvious. You put it up there so that everyone in the room could receive light. Because if you put it down low, it wouldn't be lit as much. If you put something over the top of it, you wouldn't see it at all. And the Lord is making appeal to them in very normal terms for how they live their life in that day, saying, look, if you're going to be filled with oil and lit up for the Lord, you need to shine. And that's the principle that God is giving us. You know, parables have one main principle in them. The one main principle in this, although there can be other applications, is you need to be shining your light. If you're a believer and God has filled you with his oil, you have the Holy Spirit, you're saved, God has lit you on fire for Jesus, again, you're shining for the Lord, you need to be shining your light. And yet, how often do we not do that? Now, as an unbeliever, again, it still makes sense to them, the whole thing by covering it with a basket or put it under a bed. But for the believer, he's giving a special kind of encouragement for us, saying, look, don't hide your light. Let your light so shine that men can see your good deeds and give glory to God, Jesus said. And the way we do that is living normal life. When you go out into the world, don't hide it. Now, why do we sometimes hide it? We've all done that, haven't we? We've been around certain settings where we know this isn't a friendly setting to Christianity, and maybe we hide it. Look, I know there's times we don't throw pearls to swine. In other words, the principle there is you don't just throw the word of God out if it's going to be trampled on and people are going to pay no attention to it or even mock it. I get that. And if you share with your family or everybody at your office and they don't want to hear it, you know, don't share that anymore. Well, then don't. Okay? God's not going to force himself on them. But until you have shared it, what he's saying is make sure you are sharing it. Don't hide your witness under anything. Don't keep it under a cloak. Be very open about it. And again, I think one of the best ways to do that is let people know right away where you stand. If you get a new job and you go in the office, make it clear where you stand. You know, you don't have to walk in there and say, I want to have an announcement to make or that kind of thing. But it might be a plaque on your table. It might be your Bible with you there that you read at lunch or, oh, you're a Christian. Yes, I am. Because once you get that out of the way, we just kind of let them know that now there's not the intimidation. I think we fear man. We don't like to think that we fear man, but the reality is oftentimes we do. And so we get intimidated, or maybe we don't want people to make fun of us. We don't want to seem like an outcast. You know, people, we typically want to fit in with the crowd, you know, not be made fun of. But as believers, we're called to be a light to the crowd because the crowd's walking in darkness, guys. They're walking in darkness. If we don't go in there and shine our light, who's going to shine it for them? You know, a lot of times people will say, well, I don't know that I want to confront that sinful issue in my friend's life or whatever. Then who's going to? Who's going to? I'm not saying the Holy Spirit can't. Sometimes we come to hard issues when we work through the Bible. You know, the thing about teaching the Bible line by line and verse by verse from the very beginning to the end is you can't avoid anything. And you come to certain scripture that make people uncomfortable, and you come to certain scripture that makes the world uncomfortable. And oftentimes these are passages for pastors who don't teach line by line and verse by verse. Those are easy to skip over and say, you know, well, next week we're going to skip that and we're going to cover this topic. And you kind of keep moving through without making people mad or upset because you think they'll be mad or upset. But here's the bottom line. I say this not just to pastors, and I know there's probably not that many pastors in here. I know that we have a few pastors that attend or retired pastors, et cetera, but current pastors, they're probably in the pulpit. Better be. But either way, but for those, again, of us in here that know the Lord is, look, If we're not sharing with them what the word says, who's going to reach them? But they won't like me. But if you get them in the kingdom of God, they're going to love you. And they're going to love you forever. And so we've got to be able to share. Listen, as things get harder against the church and harder against pastors, again, they're starting to arrest pastors in Britain. Maybe you've seen that, and other places, even in Canada. Again, if we're sharing the gospel, and again, I don't know all the details about that, you know, as far as the way it's happening, but the bottom line is Satan wants to shut people up, and the people that are living those sinful lifestyles, he doesn't want them to hear that it's wrong because he doesn't want them to be saved. And then if we're not shining our light and we're afraid to share with them, how are they going to be? If you've got family and friends that are living in lifestyles that the Bible condemns, if you really love them, you must share the word of God. And you've got to pray for boldness to do it. But they'll hate me. Look, I made up my mind a long time ago. I would rather have all of my family and friends hate me and hear the truth than for me never to say anything and just let them go into hell. Now, it's how you do it. Again, if you go to your family and friends and share the truth, it needs to be prayed up and it needs to be in love. And if they say, I don't want to hear that, then fine. Okay, we're not going to talk about it. That's their choice. But you never know. God may open a door and give you an opportunity to share with them, to lead them to Christ by shining your light. We are called to do that. God didn't give us his light just to hide it. There's a reason. He's telling us as believers, let your light shine. Do not keep it back. And then he goes on and says this, for there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that should come to light. Now, there's two applications here. The main application is in reference to the word of God. He's saying, look, you might as well share, because at one point, the entire world's going to know about this. They're going to know about me. They're going to know about the word. They're going to know what it says. Everybody's going to find out one day. And if they find out they're on judgment day and look at you and you didn't tell them, how's that going to feel? In other words, it's going to be revealed to everybody. Everybody's going to find out Jesus is Lord. Everybody's going to find out he's going to rule and reign forever, whether they believe it or not. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. So why wait until then? Let's share it now. It's all going to be revealed anyway. So share it. That's one application of this. The second application, which I find interesting, the Bible says in heaven, everything will be open and revealed. I think that means everything in our lives as well. And what that means is things that we've hidden or think that we've hidden, it's going to be revealed in heaven. Now, let me give you some good news because I've already made it like, oh my goodness. For those of you that have given your life to Christ, there's nothing to reveal. It's all under the blood. You are completely clean and forgiven. All those things you remember, that money you took out of your dad's drawer and stole to buy that cheese sandwich when you were in third grade, it's all forgiven. It's gone. The Lord's not going to bring it up. Hey, how was that cheese sandwich? I mean, that's not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. Why? It's the only thing that you will face before the Lord on Judgment Day is, hey, come on in. I'm going to talk about your reward. Let's talk about what I have for you in the kingdom. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Isn't that a great prospect for our future? That's all you have to worry about as a believer. But guys, here's the thing that is so horrifying for the unbeliever. And I don't say this to try to scare anybody in the kingdom. I'm just going to speak honestly with you. If you're here and don't know the Lord, everything you've ever done is going to be revealed before all of us in heaven. We're all going to see it. We're going, whoa, everybody, all the angels, God, everybody throughout history, they're going to see it. It can't be hidden. It doesn't go away. Well, that guy got away with it. Nobody gets away with anything. It just gets delayed until Judgment Day. Nobody gets away with anything. So if you still have that sin in your life or all those things, even stuff you don't remember that you've done, you're going to carry that with you before the Lord when you stand before him on that day, and God's going to talk to you about it, and there's no escape. At that point, you can't be forgiven. Now, that's the bad news. Here's the good news. If you confess it today and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's all gone. It's all gone. Make a choice for Christ. Listen, not just so you won't have to stand and give account for all you've done and be embarrassed, but because you'll get heaven as well. And there's nothing you have to worry about. Your future is going to be just joy and getting ready to see the Lord. But if not, it's going to be a very intimidating day. It's when I read things like this is when I say, Lord, thank you so much for saving me. I'm glad I know you. I'm glad it's taken care of before we get there. He says, it's all going to come to light. And listen to what he says. If anyone has ears, let him hear. So if God's opening your ears this morning and you're an unbeliever, God's saying, you need to listen up. This is real. What this guy's saying is true. He's not making it up. I said it. He's simply reading it. You need to respond to it. There's going to be a judgment day. And so take care of it now. Take care of business now. Don't wait till the last minute when it's too late, because then it's too late. And so he finishes by saying, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. And then in verse 24, notice what he says. Then he said to them, he goes right into the whole hearing thing again. This is interesting. This is that's the first parable about shining the light. This is the truth that I talked to you that comes up, and then we'll get to the last two parables. But the truth is, take heed what you hear. I have the word what circled. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. What he's saying is, look, in context, the word of God that he's talking about here, what he's saying is, look, whatever you're listening to, it's going into your heart, and that's going to be what's going to grow, and that's going to be the measure that's going to come out. So what you're putting in and how much you're putting in is going to be what's going to be coming out and how much is coming out. That's the measure that you use. And so again, when it comes to the word of God, what he's saying is, be planting the word of God. Put the word of God deep into your heart. Notice he says, verse 25, he says, for whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And that is, again, such a warning here. What he's saying is, if you're planting the word of God, if you're taking God's word in, he talked about the seed being planted, and you're growing, you're going to want more and more. By the measure that you take in, you're going to grow in your desire for God's word, and there's going to be a greater and greater godly crop that comes out. He says, but if you don't respond to that, even what you have will be taken away. As I've seen this, I've seen people that had their eyes opened and they knew about the Lord, but they said, yeah, I do believe that he died on the cross. I do believe it. I don't think I'm going to give my life to him, at least not right now. And then time goes by and you see them years later and now they don't care at all. They don't care about God. They don't care about his word. They don't care about getting saved. None of that matters now. Their heart's been hardened. And you see it. What they were given has now been taken away because they didn't respond to it. That's why what you're hearing this morning is so important. You need to respond to what the Lord is saying to you this morning before it gets to a point where you can no longer respond. But if you do this in measure and do it in greater measure, then God's going to give you more and more based on what you hear. You know, I think about what we listen to, and I think about all the things that I've listened to my whole life. You know, the principle is that what you put in is what's going to come out. That's what's going to happen. So God says, be guarding that. And I want to strongly encourage you to make sure that, you know, what you're going in is going to be beneficial. Now, there's nothing wrong. And again, you know, listening to certain, you know, if you like, you know, jazz, somebody told me they found on Spotify, they found some blues version of Isaiah. Some guy singing through Isaiah, singing the blues, you know, and this kind of thing, whatever. But praise the Lord. But either way, it's not about that, but saying, look, whatever you're putting in, I think about all the things I listened to before I came to Christ. It had a huge impact on my life. And moms and dads, if you don't think what your kids are listening to, then Jesus... You don't understand what Jesus said here. He's saying, be careful what you hear. And notice that, not what you see, although that matters. Now, look, it matters what we see as well, and that certainly has an impact. But it's interesting to me, rather than him saying, be careful what you see, he said, be careful what you hear. What it gives us a clue that what we listen to has a direct line to our heart. So whatever you're listening to, the kind of music, the lyrics, the books, if you're doing audible, whatever you're doing, different things you're reading, all that goes in the ear, comes down to the heart. Make sure you're putting something in there that you want to be in good measure, to come out in good measure. I think about the impact of just, again, when I first got saved, giving my life to the Lord, because I was coming out of, again, I was rushing toward the light because my life was so dark. It depends on what state you were in when you got saved. I think oftentimes the drive you have. Jesus said, those that have been forgiven much love much. And the only benefit to being worse than most of you guys in this room is that you really love the Lord when you get saved because you realize his grace. You realize, oh my goodness, why did you save me? I don't deserve to be saved. Thank you, Lord, that I'm here. And so you're just driven to the Lord. That was me. And again, I was driven to the Lord, couldn't get enough. And I just started just getting teachings. Now, I didn't know that I was called to be a pastor. So everybody's got different calls, but being called to be a pastor, God's got to download a lot of information so that over time I can be able to give it back out to you guys. So again, God began downloading and downloading. I would get tape after tape. Now, here's what tapes are. Tapes are these things. About that big. You put them in what was called a Walkman. You can look those up in the Britannica. And that's all we had then. And I would just hours. I would be just, whatever I did, whenever there was spare time, I'm just running those tapes. And I didn't realize what God was doing, but God was changing my life and God was also preparing me for ministry and downloading. And guys, listen, I want to encourage you to do that because again, look at all the spare time you have driving, doing odd jobs or whatever. If you're downloading the word of God, it is going to be transforming your life and just downloading, just putting it in there. It makes you a different person. And now it's something safe you can hear because it's going to have a great outcome as you put it in your life. And I started going through Pastor Chuck, and listening to all through the Bible with Pastor Chuck. And I would encourage you to go through the Bible with Pastor Chuck. Did you know that Pastor Chuck, again, probably the first, second, and really third generations, it's getting less and less now, but it's still happening now. The Calvary Chapel pastors were trained up by listening to Pastor Chuck. That was our training. And again, I remember just about 2 years just straight of listening to Chuck and then starting over. And going back again, if you listen to Pastor Chuck, it's a little bit different than me for a couple of reasons. One is he's a much better teacher. Secondly, he talks like this. Now, chapter 4, verse 21. Also, he spoke a parable, you know. It was wonderful in my training because it made me stop with this, you know, and just, I couldn't speed it up. You know, I just had to listen to it. But I was just soaking it in, right? Well, see, now you've got these little things. You can do all this now. Listen to him digitally and online, whatever. And you got this little, like, 1.5 button or 2.0 button. Now, a lot of people I can listen to 2.0 and I can keep up with most anybody speaking. I can. Tracy hears it and goes, how in the world can you even tell what they're saying, right? With Chuck, if you put it on 2.0, it's about like this right now. He would be so intentional and meditative, which is wonderful. God used him to train teachers around the world, and that's the kind of man he needed to be. But he would get to the end of a tape, I'd be listening, and it would kind of go quiet for a while. I'm like, okay, that's the end of side one. You'd have to pop it out, flip it over. Right before I hit the button, oftentimes to pop it out of here, no. Okay, Chuck's starting up again. We have more verses to go before we get to the other. So you have to wait to get there. But guys, think about what you have at your fingertips right now. Technology-wise, think about the accountability of this generation before God. I didn't know the Bible that good. Why not? I gave you multiple teachers through the whole Bible all over the internet that everybody had. You could have listened all day, every day. You could have listened a little bit every day. And you know the word. I'm not saying that to lay a guilt trip on us. I'm saying God has blessed our generation with the availability of the word of God that people would have died for in generations past. In the Lord's day and prior to that, you had little scrolls you had to carry around. The longest scroll you could ever find was about 30 to 35 feet long. So you have to lay it out and do it and read, you know, whatever book, and then go find another scroll of this and a scroll of that. And that's how you read the Bible. Now we just put headphones in, we hit a button and we play it and we listen while we're cleaning or we're doing whatever. And it's just such a huge blessing. He said, look, the measure that you take in is the measure that you're going to give back out. This is something that we need to recognize. The more you have, the more will be given. He said, but if you don't care, I don't care about that. I don't need that. He said, all right, even what you have is going to be taken away. The opportunity, as far as I think, even the blessings that we have. And so it's a real serious warning to make sure we take advantage of what God has given us and not lose that opportunity. And so now he moves on into the second parable, and this one is the parable of growing seed. And I love this one because what it means is God does all the work. Listen to what he says. And he said, verse 26, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Remember, seed, we're told, is the word of God. So he's given a picture of planting the word in our heart again. Depending on our soil, will depend on how it grows. And should sleep by night and rise by day. That is just living normal life, not doing anything beyond that. And the seed should sprout and grow. And he himself does not even know how. He's saying just the seed itself does all the work, just plant it. And look at this. For the earth yields the crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then afterward the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. That is, the seed has everything that's needed from beginning to end. The only thing we do at the very end is to take the crop. Everything else is built into it. God has built into the seeds of the earth, and God has built into his seed that's being planted in your hearts right now. If you receive it and have good soil, that it's going to go in there and it's going to change you regardless. You can't help it. You're going to change. The seed will be planted. You don't have to do any kind of efforts or special service or strain or try to make something happen. I saw the cutest video, a little boy, you know, these videos you see of little kids doing stuff and a dad filming him, and the little boy's down there going, and his dad's like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm trying to grow. I don't want to be little anymore. And his dad's kind of laughing. So is it helping? He said, no. Again, we've all felt that. We want to grow more. But here's the thing. He's going to naturally grow. God is built into the human body. It just grows. You just wake up and one day you're different. I remember I was thinking about this when I was 14 years old. It's like in one summer, in like what, 3 or 4 months, maybe it was as much as 6, I grew something like 6 inches, 6 or 7 inches. It was like ridiculous. And of course you're going, well, you're not that tall now, but what happened? But either way, I just suddenly got taller and just there I was, taller. I didn't know it. I didn't recognize it. It wasn't like I was watching myself grow. It's something that was built in the way God did it. The word of God is the same way. You plant it and you're just going to change. I'll give you one example. I've shared it before, but when I first got saved, I had, you know, I wasn't a sailor mouth or anything, but I had some words I wish I didn't say. And especially you get saved and you're around other believers, like, I shouldn't be talking that way. And God says, let no corrupt speech come out of your mouth. And I was convicted. Okay, Lord, you know, but you can't just like, I'm quitting. Because what happens is you bang your thumb with a hammer and you didn't just quit. You find out real quick. Because it's in there. You've ingrained it in your brain. It's just, you learn to live with it. And so I said, Lord, just take this away. Take this away. And I didn't realize the whole time I'm just reading the word of God, taking the word of God. And then one day the accident happens or whatever, where you hit yourself and nothing bad came out. And God began to minister to me and said, I just did that. I'm like, yeah, you did. It just, the seed was planted, reading the word of God. You said, I've got these struggles. I can't seem to be free in these areas. Let me ask you this. How much seed are you planting? And what soil are you planting it in? Ask God to give you good soil. Start planting seed. And you don't have to make an effort to stop cussing. I'm just not going to cuss. Don't even try that. You're going to fail that over and over. Don't try to quit. Fill in the blank. Don't try to quit. There it is. You can't. We're weak as humans. Just plant seeds. Plant seeds. Plant seeds. And when they begin to grow, and suddenly one day you get up and you say, you know what? It's gone. I'm just a different person. You're going to be a different person. It's just something God supernaturally does. It's wonderful. And so he's saying, this is what's going to happen. It'll just happen. They don't even know how. You don't know how. It simply grows. It's something that God does. And it's simply a matter of planting seeds and allowing the seed to have its work. So the more seeds you plant and the better the soil, the more result you're going to have in being a more godly person. That's the bottom line. How do you grow in the Lord? This is it. It's the word of God. This is how you grow. Now he moves on to the next parable. This is an interesting one. This is talking about the church and what the church is going to be like. And absolutely, as God's word always does, it lines up exactly with what we see in the church today and we see in the last 2,000 years. Look what he says. Then he said to them, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest in its shade. Now, there's a couple things to note here. First of all, a mustard seed about the size of a speck of pepper, that kind of thing, or a speck of salt. And so it's very, very small. Again, it was the smallest of the seeds of the herbs. There were other smaller seeds, but he's speaking here in context of herbs. It's the smallest seed among herbs. He said, when you plant it, it's small, but it grows into a tree when that happens. Now, again, that's unusual growth. Mustard seeds, they grow into bushes. They don't grow into trees. So to call a mustard seed a tree, immediately they would have said, wait a minute, Lord, they're bushes. They're not trees. What is the point you're making? He's saying it's just like the church. When the church was born, it was 3,000 people, very small, if you will, compared to billions on the earth. But now it's literally around the world. It has grown around the world. Even as God said, the branches now reach around the world. It's gone from being just this small thing to this abnormal growth where it's actually grown around the world and not like a tree. So there's a picture saying the church is going to grow huge. It's going to grow worldwide. That's exactly what we've seen happen. That's exactly what we'd expect to happen, even though it started in a very small way. But notice this. He says, again, when it's grown, again, it shoots out branches. Look at this. So that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Now, remember what the Lord identified the birds of the air as at the very beginning of this chapter. The demonic realm. I want you to see another verse of that. Revelation 18, 1 through 3. I'm going to read that for you. It's on the screen. Just see another example of birds being used as the demonic realm in Scripture, and not just here in the parables. But after these, this is during the Great Tribulation. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place for demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. And that is, the demonic realm will be running rampant. And here's why. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. They're committing sin against God as a nation, as an earth, if you will, after the rapture. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. That is Babylon, who is a picture of the world system. And her merchants and of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. So they put God to the side. They're living the world's lifestyle. But he says, notice this, every demon and every unclean and hated bird is going to be there. So I want you to see the picture that he's giving, because without that understanding, this doesn't make sense. You could read that parable and go, well, that means the church is going to grow. And it's going to be so wonderful that even the animals, it's going to be a great place for everybody to gather. And it is. But now let me give you the harsh reality about what he's warning us about the church, and tell me you haven't seen this. The demonic realm is going to be nesting in its branches. Isn't that interesting? I'm not talking about people. So you don't have to be looking around here for who the bird is. You're a bird. No, the demonic realm. What that means is the demonic realm is going to be very active in the church. Why? The clubs are conquered. This is who he wants. This is where the focus is, you guys. The new believer, those who are not yet believers. And so they live here. There's probably some demons that, you know, maybe today have interacted. Maybe right now trying to keep you from hearing things you need to hear. Why didn't God stop them? Well, we'll find out in the kingdom. God knows if we're crying out, God knows what he's going to allow and not allow. I don't know all the whys if they say the reasons of God. But the reality is we're going to see that. Now, have you ever seen pastors fall? Ever seen elders steal money or gossip and slander split a church? The demons are nesting in the branches, guys. Why would Jesus tell us this? So that when we see the church fail and people in the church fail, we realize he warned us this would happen. We're fallen nature. Satan is going to be using as many as he can to fall. What our job is to walk in the Spirit and not let us be the one used. Our job is to stay in the Word, stay in prayer. The birds, you know what? Look, okay, that nest might be there and we'll pray that out or whatever, but Lord, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. We stay away from that stuff. And we're not the one doing the gossip and slander. We're not the one that's stealing the money or falling as a pastor or a leader or doing whatever the case might be. We're walking with God. But don't be shocked when you see this, guys. The church, look at the dark ages of the church. In the dark ages of the church, understand this, they were torturing people and killing them when they wouldn't receive Christ. Can you imagine? We want your unbelievers to come forward today, and if you don't, there'll be somebody at the back waiting to torture you. So you'll get the rack out. They're going to strap your legs, your hands in, and we're going to be poking you with little needles until you receive Christ. What? I mean, yeah, you might get false conversions. That's what they were doing. They were torturing people. Guys, they didn't know what spirit they were off. Why? The birds were nesting in the branches. Look, I don't like hearing about all these things where these scandals happen in churches and some pedophiles found in a kid's area. Look, it's a nightmare. And we have as many safeguards set up as we can from historical studies so it doesn't happen. And by God's grace, we've made it 29 years without that kind of thing happening. So that's God's grace. But the bottom line is that I know that the birds are nesting in the branches. The opportunity, the enemy can move. He's going to take that opportunity to move. So we need to recognize it. And so understand, don't expect your pastors and your elders and everybody in the church to be perfect. Somebody here is going to hurt you. If you go to church long enough, you're going to get hurt by somebody. Somebody's going to offend you. The birds are in the nest. Listen, I think the big thing today is, again, and I hear this term coming up more and more, you know, I don't go to church anymore because church hurt. There's not a person in the world that won't at some point be hurt by something or somebody at a church. And if that becomes the standard as to why you're not going to go, then forget it. You'll never go. Because there are birds nesting in the branches. Well, there's hypocrites there. Of course there are. There are birds nesting in the branches. I don't agree with hypocrisy. We shouldn't be hypocrites, but they're going to be here. And by the way, would you rather have a hypocrite out there or in here where they can hear the gospel and get saved? Give them a chance to hear the gospel and stop being a hypocrite. The bottom line is that we have to realize this is a group of sinful people coming together by the grace of God, trying to learn how to grow in the Lord, and those that are saved get saved, and those of us that know the Lord trying to walk with less and less sin. That's how this works. And so we're not going to get away with the birds and the nest. You're not going to find the perfect church. You know, we have the old joke, if you find it, don't join it, you'll ruin it, right? That's an old joke. It's an old joke. I can't believe any of you, if you're laughing, you heard it so much, right? But I mean, it's true. It's true because, again, you know, the bottom line is you got to realize we have to forgive each other. We got to love each other. We got to have grace for each other. I'm going to hurt some of you. I hate that. I've hurt so many people over the years. I grieve at the people I've hurt, the things I've said, the things that I can't change it. I can hopefully learn from it and say, Mark, just God help me. You know, as God's representative, I know I'm not, you don't expect me to be like the Lord. You don't expect me. I realize that. But as God's representative, there's that whole thing is I don't want people to get a wrong picture of what you're like, Lord, and who you are and how you are. And so many things are so easily judged. But just understand, again, this is a part of the church. They're going to be listening there and they're going to be living there in the branches. And the bottom line is we have to just say, you know, it's going to happen. Now, here's something else to grasp. Don't be shocked by this. It's not just the unbeliever that gets used. Believers get used by the enemy when he nests in the branches. If we're not walking in the Spirit, if we're not obeying the Lord, then the enemy can speak to us. He can have us do things that we maybe didn't even realize we did wrong, or maybe even that we did. We let our flesh get in the way. Ask Peter about that. Here's one of the closest followers of Jesus in the world, and Satan spoke right through him. Lord, don't go to the cross. That's why Jesus came, right? And the Lord looked at him. I mean, that must have been an intense moment. Satan, get behind me. Oh, it's like, that's scary. Lord, don't let me ever be the voice of Satan. Because if Peter could, I could. And so could you. Don't ever let me be the actions of Satan.
And that's why we have to be in the Word. We have to be in prayer, praying for God's grace. And then when it happens, here's what we do. I was just used by the enemy. I'm going to go to my brother. I need you to forgive me. That was not right. I'm not going to blame it on the enemy. I'm taking responsibility. But he tricked me into being used or whatever. Please forgive me. And that's where the hardest part. We have pride. You know what I mean? It's hard to go and say, to ask forgiveness. Look, whenever there's any question at all, what I do is if there's any question, I just go immediately to the home. Forgive me. Straight to it. And by the way, guys, when you're asking forgiveness, don't say I'm sorry. Criminals are sorry. You need to use these words. Please forgive me. Because that opens up their heart to release and go, okay, I forgive you. So now you're saying the right words. They're able to respond to that. And there's restoration. Now, it may not get back to where you're buddies. You may not be friends hanging out with each other. But you've made it right with each other before the Lord. And now you can move on in your walk with God. And so, again, if I hurt you like that, let me know. And even if I think you're wrong, I'll say, please forgive me. If I did anything that gave the wrong impression. Now, I'm not going to confess to something I didn't do. And I'm not saying you need to confess to something you didn't do. But if I've hurt someone, I've hurt a lot of people, I can usually find something I can ask forgiveness for. And that's a good practice in humility for me. And it gives them a chance to say, you know what? He humbled himself. I can forgive him. And it might be something. Maybe I said something that needed to be said. I've said things before that needed to be said. And they were tough. Hey, you need to deal with this. Well, I really was offended by that. Well, it needed to be said. But you know what? My intention wasn't to offend you. So if I said it the wrong way, please forgive me. But at the same time, there's an issue here. So there's almost always some way we can humble ourselves and not be lying and speak the truth and minister to a brother or a sister. And I think it's something we need to be doing, something we need to be humble in, because the enemy's at work among us. He's nesting in the branches. And sometimes because we don't expect it in the church, we're blindsided by it. But I mean, he's got the upper view there. He can see what's coming. And so here it goes. Lastly, look at this, verse 33. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they went, or as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. Again, he wanted to make sure they could hear. So again, he was using these parables because they were totally blind to the Spirit. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. I love this. Look, God's, again, we have a special privilege here. They didn't have that privilege, but when we hear from the Lord, we can go privately and say, God, give me more information. I encourage you to do that. Be getting alone with the Lord in prayer. You've heard this today. Maybe there's something to say, God, show me more about the parables. Is what he was saying really right? Is this really what you're trying to say to my heart through this? Get alone, because I love it. They got alone with the Lord, and what happened was that God gave them more. They had that privileged position, and God revealed more to them and explained more to them so they could further understand the Word of God. And so that's where we're going to end it today. Next week, we'll get into the storms as we talk about, also going to be talking about, as we said, the building. But I use a portion of the service to talk about the future of Calvary Chapel. But then we're going to get into winds and storms. But for today, guys, let's apply these parables to our life. If you're not shining your light, shine your light. Say, God, give me boldness. Help me not to hide it. I'm tired of hiding it. Don't be a secret Christian. Nobody should be a secret Christian. Shine your light. Secondly, make sure that you understand that when you're planting those seeds, it's going to change your life. Just keep planting good seeds. You don't have to strain and struggle to change your life. Let God change it by the planting of the seed and the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, know that you can go to the Lord privately and receive that instruction from him when you spend your time in the Word and prayer. So I want to pray for us that we, again, would let these things sink deep into our heart. They would take root. And also for those who may be convicted about their relationship with the Lord, that they could know him today before they leave. So let's pray right now. Father, I want to thank you again for, again, the things you've shown us through the parables and through your word. Lord, the seeds that have been planted, you're talking about seeds and the results they have. Seeds have been planted today. Thank you for the seeds that were planted, Lord, in our hearts. Let them take root, God. If we don't have good soil, give us good soil. Give it now. Don't let the birds snatch it away. Give us good soil. Let the seeds fall in the soil. Lord, let us plant more and more and more seeds, hearing your word, reading your word each day, God, and let it take root. Let it change our lives. That, Lord, we don't even know how we changed. It just suddenly one day we're different. Thank you for how powerful your word is. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you and they can't even receive the seed because they've never received you, that right now they would do that. If that's you and God's convicting you, for the first time you know that you need God and you need forgiveness of sins. You know that you don't want your sin exposed before God in heaven. You want to be clean and ready to stand before the Lord. Then simply pray this, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I confess to you that I am a sinner. And I believe that you died for me on the cross. I believe you resurrected 3 days later. And Lord, I believe now that you're forgiving me because I'm praying from my heart to be forgiven. Lord, thank you for what you've done. I give you all the glory. And Father, thank you for any that may have prayed that prayer this morning. And we give you all the glory and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.